Fault tree analysis is for the pessimists in us, and success tree analysis is for the optimists in our group. They're both tools that allow us to take a look at top-level events and then see what the contributing factors may be. They're a neat graphical tool, and they come in pretty handy in a number of different circumstances, particularly when we're looking at what can we do to make our system or the design of the system more robust, i.e., mostly more reliable. Now, fault tree analysis is a top and success tree analysis, and I'll talk about fault tree in general and then mention where success tree differs just slightly. These tree analyses are basically top-down models. And so we take my laptop doesn't power on is the top-level failure, and usually a failure mode, a lack of function of some sort. So let's say it just doesn't power on. Well, what could cause that? Well, it could be the battery is dead, it's not plugged in, could be a bad power supply, it could be the motherboard has failed in some way and is not going to continue the power on sequence. And with a little bit of thought, you could come up with many more. But what could cause a power supply to fail? What could cause the analog ASIC to fail? What could cause that connector to fail on that analog ASIC system? And so on. And so we can work down to fundamental causes, whether it's material properties or manufacturing assemblies or too much variability or whatever it is, to where we can get to a pretty decent detailed model of all the things that could lead to failure within our system. Now, sometimes these are redundant systems or there's multiple actions that need to be taken. And fault tree is a way to visually analyze these systems and mathematically. We'll look at both of those. So they're similar to reliability block diagrams, which we'll talk about later in the modeling section, but it's a way to take a simple look at your system, and then we combine it with some logic gates. And it's probably easier just to look straight at an example. So let's use the example of my car. And in particular, it's probably my car from high school that didn't start often enough that it still is burned into my memory. So you go out in the morning and you turn the key and nothing happens. Well, it doesn't start. It's not that nothing happens. You can tell usually from the symptoms of how it doesn't start as to where the problem may be. But let's say, like on the cars I've got today, that if I don't have it in park, it's an automatic, and I don't have my foot on the brake, it will not turn over. It will disrupt the starter from firing. And so the control statuses are sensing these two conditions. And then if that combined with pushing the button on my Highlander, it's a push button start, it will interrupt that process and say the car can't start. So that logic gate is, if I remember right, a NAND gate, which means that both events have to be engaged. It has to be in park and your foot on the brake. And then it'll pass and say your control is good. And it'll pass the signal forward and say you're in good shape. On the other hand, it could be a completely separate failure mechanism, is that I could have a faulty starter or maybe a broken wire, or you could list dozens of other possible ways you could have an electrical problem. And that's an OR gate. I don't need both the starter and a broken wire to cause the car not to start. It can be one or the other. And so I have these different logical structures to think through how my ability to not have the car start could occur. Now, these can get pretty complicated, but you can also start adding, well, what's the chance of a faulty starter? Or what's the chance the person starting the car won't have it in park? And you can put probabilities down on these structures, and then using the Boolean logic associated with these different logic gates, you can calculate what's the probability of the car not starting, given the various ways and various paths that could lead to it not starting. So there's lots of different structures that can be put under this, and there's still ongoing development. But understanding the basic concept here and use of logic gates and some simple calculations is the starting point. Now, the success tree is, as I mentioned, for the optimist. And so instead of starting with a failure at the top of the tree, we start with a success. The car starts. Well, in order for the car to start, we have this AND gate that says the controls have to be set correctly, has to be in park and the foot on the brake. And if either of those don't occur, then we would signal on the controls that we're not ready to go, and it wouldn't include in the AND gate at the top. On the other side, with electrical fault, is that the starter has to be working, not faulty, and the broken wire has to be passing current and not broken. And so if either of those occur, then it signals that we have an electrical problem, and that'll not be in good shape to allow the car to start. And so the success trees are very similar structure. It's just a different stepping through of logic as to what will cause the car to start versus what will cause the car to not start for a fault tree analysis. Now, I've read about success trees, and I've seen people talk about them on occasion, but I've never seen them used in practice. For some reason, we seem to enjoy talking about failures and the paths that lead to failures, because I find that it's a whole lot more productive to find that path that leads to failure and interrupt it and cause either redundancy or improve the robustness of the weakest links in those fault tree paths. So there's a couple different, obviously way more that goes into fault trees and success trees. And we'll work through some examples separately that go through some of the math that can be involved with it. But that's the basic intro to fault tree analysis. Now, one of the things that we touched on with the common mode failures is that we're making the assumption in fault tree analysis that the elements are independent. Whether I step on the brake and or have the car in park, are they independent or not? Well, if I have somebody in the vehicle that doesn't understand the starting sequence, what needs to happen, it's likely that one or both of those things will be much different state than if somebody that's well-versed with how to start a car. And so they're not really independent in the truest sense. So taking a look at the fault tree analysis, for example, is often a good first order estimate. And in many cases, that's usually adequate for what we need to do. But also step back and think about, well, what are those common mode elements? What are the things that violate this notion of independence, and are they important enough to sort out and understand? So next we'll take a look at tolerancing, and one of the cases there is the worst case analysis.